This message was originally given live at Calvary Chapel of La Mirada, and today Pastor Brian will be introducing us to the theme of hungering and thirsting after righteousness. So let's go ahead and begin.
Please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. We're doing a verse-by-verse study through the Sermon on the Mount, and we find ourselves working our way through the Beatitudes. We come to verse 6, where he said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." My prayer is that the Lord would speak to our hearts, challenge us, and convict us with this statement that Jesus Christ made, and I have a sense that he's desiring to do that, as anytime there's kind of opposition or weird things that happen, at least in my morning, I realize that the Lord has something special for us. And as I usually do, I get up early in the morning and I'll put my notes together after I've studied during the week, so it's fresh upon my heart. And I went to my office this morning, and as soon as I put my computer up, started typing one line, the power went out. And when I got here, I found out the power was out at the church as well. And usually when there's things like that going on, it gives me more of an attentive heart to pray and realize that God wants to speak to our hearts in a unique way. And it is interesting that the message I gave at the first service, obviously it's going to be very much the same, but there's other scriptures the Lord has directed me to for this time. And so I believe he has some real personal challenges and aspects that he wants to bring to our hearts. And I want to put this beatitude, this blessing, in the context, because the Beatitudes are all linked together. They're not kind of a shopping list that you go through and say, I like this one, but I really don't want to have that one in my life. And especially if you've read ahead, it said, blessed are those who are persecuted. No one would choose that one as the Beatitude to take, but they're all interlinked. And they're all qualities and characteristics that should be developing and growing in our life as Christians. It's the same with the fruit of the Spirit. You don't choose the different aspects of the fruit that are mentioned there. They should all be within our life as we're trying to reflect the nature and character of Jesus Christ. So let me show you how this fits into the rest of the other three that we've already studied. Jesus is talking about entering the kingdom of God and experiencing the full blessings of that kingdom. I believe ultimately the kingdom will be established when Jesus Christ comes back, when the king is here. But in the meantime, it's in the form of a spiritual kingdom. And we enter that not in the ways in which the people of the first century, the time of Jesus, wanted to, whether through, you know, religious devotion or political power, bringing the kingdom by force. We enter it according to what Jesus says in the first beatitude of being poor in spirit. And we studied that beatitude already, and it speaks of being one who's in abject poverty before God, spiritually bankrupt, coming before God empty-handed, asking of him, begging of him for his mercy, his forgiveness, his righteousness. We come to him and receive all that we need. And he says, if you'll come to him that way, he says, yours is the kingdom of heaven. And that's how a person enters into salvation, where they realize that I have no goodness to offer God, that in me is nothing good. God is the one that is merciful and kind and is willing and ready to bring forgiveness to my heart. And that is the aspect of coming as a child before the Lord, that we stand in need of him. He doesn't need us. And he didn't have to save us. We are like sheep that went astray, and God called us back, and he's given us his mercy and his grace and his forgiveness. And someone that will turn to the Lord empty-handed, receive his work, Jesus says, I'll give you everything. I'll give you the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven belongs to you. That's obviously that aspect of salvation. Now, that's not only a one-time event. I believe we should continue to realize that still I have nothing to offer God. There's no, the source of goodness isn't me. It comes down from above. What do I have that I have not received? Paul asked the Corinthians. So I still continue to hunger like a spiritual beggar before God for his blessings and his work within my life. And once you truly realize that you're poor in spirit, it leads to the next beatitude. You begin to mourn. You begin to be sorrowful over your condition. And we look at that scripture that says there's a godly sorrow that leads to repentance, which leads to salvation. And so there's a mourning over my evil heart, my spiritual bankruptcy, and I come to God, and he brings his comfort, his strength, his peace, and he comes along and touches my life. Then last week we looked at meekness, where I'm not pushing myself forward, but I'm submitting to God humbly, submitting to what God may allow to happen in my life through other men or individuals. I'm not pushing my rights my way. I don't look inside for the strength, but I submit to God and allow his plans to be worked out. And then that should lead to where we're at. When you see yourself as meek, you're not looking for your own strength, you're mourning over your own heart, you're spiritually bankrupt, it should then cause a hunger for the work of God in your life, a hungering and thirsting after righteousness. You want something added to your life. You want the work of God. You're in a desperate situation, and you press in towards the Lord, hungering and thirsting for the righteousness that He is willing and ready to offer to you. And I am glad that Christianity is far different than religions that are set up. What religions do, they leave you in that mourning state where you're unworthy to come before God, where you are overwhelmed with your own sin and you're just kind of there. And they tell you, do these things, go to church, be baptized, do these Ten Commandments, and do these things and God will accept you. But you never have that sense of peace, you never have that sense of acceptance, because you realize in your own heart's evil and wicked, and you never find that sense of contentment and joy that the Bible speaks about. So Jesus doesn't leave you there mourning over your sin and bankrupt so that you would be under condemnation and guilt and shame. He now wants that aspect of your heart to drive you to be hungry and thirsting for more of God's work in your life. And that should be the condition of every person that claims to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Again, you don't pick and choose this. All of our hearts should be hungering and thirsting for righteousness, for the work of God, for more of the Spirit of God in our life, for more power, more of His love, more of His grace, more of His mercy, less sin in my life, and more of His holiness. And if you will live your Christian life that way, you will truly experience this blessedness that Jesus describes. And that's that sense of joy, satisfaction, well-being, peace of heart, peace of mind, understanding God's favors upon your life. And I believe this is a real good challenge this morning. I believe this really will show you where the temperature of your heart is spiritually. Not what you think it is, because maybe the outward things that you do, but are you like a sponge that can't get enough of the things of the Lord? Or have you come to a point where you've plateaued out, and you're just kind of satisfied with where you're at? There's no real longing for the things of God, no real pressing in for more of the Lord within your life. Or you just kind of plateaued out and you've kind of been the same. Over the last year, two, 3 years, I don't know, however long it could be, just kind of at that same place. There is no blessing in that. There's blessing where you realize, I don't have righteousness, and I want it, and I'm desperate for it. And I'm an individual here, like Jesus says, hungering and thirsting for it. And just as I need food and water to survive, I need righteousness in my life. I'm that desperate for the work of God.